Open VoIP 929-299-1269. Hello,
welcome to the SDS conferencing
this
system.
Is SDF.
One other party
Open
is in this
VoIP.
Conference.
To join the conversation, please dial 929-299-1269. That's 929-299-1269. open VoIP 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 929-299-1269.
There are two other parties in this conference.
Hello, this is Publius calling in. I'm just wondering, has anyone had any odd interactions with SDF user Rolly? Or is it just me? Not negative exactly, but odd. I got an email from him, which seemed to be a request to
There are three other parties in this conference.
Welcome.
Hello?
Welcome. Welcome.
Hello?
Yes. Why, hello. Publius.
Yes. You have correctly identified me, yes.
I didn't call you Kit.
SMJ.
Oh, thank you. You didn't call me Michael Knight. Whatever. What were you...
That's some fetish.
What?
I said to you, you can call me Michael Knight. That's some fetish.
Jeez. Sorry, I just heard you on, so that's why I dialed in.
Right.
Dialed up. Sorry.
Dial down.
Oh, yes. What would it be? Tune in, tune out.
Tune in, turn on, drop out?
Yeah, okay. Oh, sorry, I was doing the Dead Kennedys version of manipulated version of it. So how do we translate to dialing into Open VoIP? Timothy Leary.
Dial in, pick up, hang out. But of course you actually have to pick up before you dial in. Most telephones don't allow you to dial before you.
That's true. It is, yeah. Unless you have a speakerphone, then you can hit the speaker button, and then you can dial.
Or you have a beaker phone, which just transmits.
Beaker. What was the doctor's name?
Bunsen Honeydew.
Anson? Who?
Bunsen Honeydew.
Bunsen. Okay. Bunsen.
With a head like a melon.
Oh, right. Okay. Yeah, he was always a calm one, but of course, his assistant definitely always got in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you had dialed in. What were you talking about?
Well, I was just wondering if anyone else had had some odd interactions with user Rolly, or if I was unique in this, because he sent me an email earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, from what I could tell, it was a little weird but it seemed to be a request for me to explain what the discussion was in COM during News to Me.
Oh. Interesting.
And that seemed like a strange request to me because, honestly, I've always thought, you know, the discussion in COM is kind of freewheeling to the extent that you probably should not try to understand it.
Sure, yes, or even document it. Just throw it away after it. Flush the commode.
Anyway, it struck me as odd. Like I say, what's this all about, kind of, and then had several just sort of snippets apparently copy-pasted out of the COM buffer.
Oh, interesting.
And then at the bottom was a snippet, what looked like a snippet from the Wikipedia article about the Federalist Papers, which, of course, were published under the name of Publius, although that's not really why I chose the name. Anyway, I sort of interpreted as a request to explain where my username comes from.
Yeah. Oh, I see.
Which, you know, seemed kind of strange. I don't know. It just seemed, the whole thing seemed rather odd to me, and I just wondered if I was the only person who found this odd, or if other people had had interactions with him that they found odd.
I wouldn't say it's odd. He's, he is an adult, and he is much older than us. He is the father of Stokesoth.
I get the impression he's also Australian, and so it
may be. Yeah. It could be lost in the subtle nuances of the English language.
I mean, I just figure, you know, calm discussion is always kind of weird.
Well, there is the Coriolis effect, and you are in calm mode.
Right, so clearly Australians experience it backward from the rest of us.
Exactly, so yes, what goes down must come back up. I suppose. Anyways, at least you get to see the Southern Cross, though.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, if you do make that trek, and you have. Yeah.
Yeah, but most of the time I was there, it was overcast because the early September, late August, early September is not the time to go, at least to Victoria. There were a few clear days. There were some clear days, but most of the time it was overcast. But when I went out to St. Kilda Beach, where the statue of Captain Cook is, the stars were visible.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So you got to see a star field that you normally wouldn't gaze upon. What is it? It's surreal, isn't it?
It's, you know, hey, they replaced my sky with a different one.
Okay. Or don't you worry that you've like time warped way into the future? Or maybe you're in the past. Way in the
past. I think the illusion of being, you know, or possibly reality, of being outside, lost outside of time would be much stronger in the outback than in a metropolitan area.
Yes. And
although I did see an Aboriginal person apparently just wandering through downtown
there
Melbourne.
There are four other parties in this conference.
I think that could happen. That certainly could happen.
You know, I mean, like a guy with a loincloth and a spear just going through downtown Melbourne, apparently hunting for opossums or something.
I think they are allowed to do that.
I mean, I
had an interesting experience because I was leaving. I was on my way back. Actually, where was I going? I was in Adelaide area, but I was in Barossa Valley, which is not Adelaide, but I was going to Adelaide, and it was night, and it was clear, and I was out in the middle of nowhere, Barossa Valley, and pulled over the side of the road in the darkness and turned off the car lights so that I could gaze at this mysterious sky.
Mm-hmm.
And it was very interesting to see, of course, you know, I can't document it except for in my memory. I didn't have any fancy cameras or anything. But there was a rustle in the bush, and I was thinking, oh, it's probably just a kangaroo. And I was like, well, you know what? It's probably a kangaroo. I should probably leave now.
Yeah,
but
kangaroos are no joke.
The kangaroos, it was really interesting to see them because, you know, in the late afternoon as the sun was getting ready to set, I'd look over across the valley because I was working there for a few days, and I saw what looked like deer's heads, you know, in the grass. And I was thinking, oh, that's kind of, you know, but of course, you know, I immediately realized they were kangaroos just lounging in the afternoon sun in the middle of a meadow. I just thought, oh, I'm in Australia.
Australia, where instead of deer, they have these things that go up and down. But they got the same kind of heads. Instead of side to side, they're up and down deer.
They have a very interesting sound because they have very large hind legs, especially the larger ones that the human-sized ones, I would say, ones that dwarf humans when they stand up. And I went to an animal sanctuary, and I was there all alone. There was no other guests there, and I had a bag of feed. And I went into the kangaroo area. Oh my god! Thankfully, they didn't beat the shit out of me for the bag of feed. But
Bugged by kangaroos.
One started, and I told Bronzy about this, one started hopping towards me, and I just stood still. I was just like, okay, what? Don't flee, right? Because then it'll attack. And so anyways, it was the most interesting sound because it was a doom, 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 as it approached, and then it passed me. And there was a subtle Doppler effect. It was the most interesting thing. I was just standing still with the bag of feed, and he just hopped right past me. But it's a very interesting sound. I don't know how to describe it. It's like a marching band, bass drum. Just kind of this dum, dum. You know, this thumping sound. And, of course, it was hard-packed ground because it was their pen. So it was just, you know, exposed dirt, no grass to muffle anything. So it's very, very, I recommend it. I highly recommend it. And you should hold a koala as well.
So if you could train them to do that, you could use them as a percussion section.
I don't think they'd follow direction that way, but...
I mean, the problem really is getting the drum majorette's jackets onto the kangaroos without getting shit beat out of you.
That'd probably be the tough part. You'd have to keep feeding them whatever it is that they were eating. It was sort of like a hay pellet that they were eating. Mm-hmm.
Probably not unlike the stuff that I've fed horses with, really.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, just, I'm sure that if there was that's right. They organize in mobs. They don't have a herd, they don't have a flock, they don't have a gang, they don't have a murder. They're mobs.
Mm-hmm.
At least that's how the Australians describe them.
I assume this is how the whole Minecraft thing works.
No, it's not mobile.
Mobs.
Not those kinds. This is... I don't know what they call them. They just call them mobs. Maybe I'm all wrong about this. Maybe mobs is actually very scientific.
You know, collective nouns are...
It's a mob.
What?
No, it's a mob. I just looked it up while you were speaking.
Oh, okay. Yeah, mob.
Collective nouns are one of those fascinating...
Which sounds pretty cool.
Right. You're going to get mobbed by the mob or robbed by the mob.
Yeah, you got to be careful, you know. Of course, it always makes me think of that. There's an anime which is actually legal, which is actually formally called something called like Mermaid Melody Peachy Peachy Peach, but which I always call I Married Into the Mermaid Mob.
Uh-huh.
Because that's basically the plot of it, is this guy, you know, jumps into the sea to rescue a girl he thinks is drowning, and it turns out she's a mermaid, and the mermaids don't want anybody to know they exist, and so basically they're going to kill him, and then she decides, no, I'll marry him instead, okay. And that way the other merman won't kill him. Anyway, the whole thing is very weird, but I always the thing is that the way they treat the mermaids in the show and the merman is like Yakuza members, and so I always, I call the show, you know, I can scarcely remember the right name of it, but I always call it I Married Into the Mermaid Mob, but it's because it's just a good description. So somewhere here I have one of those ludicrous pictures you get off the internet, which is somebody's, you know, making up a bunch of highly questionable collective nouns.
Oh.
Which is like, you know, a... 91.7, the snurf of, of Tasmanian devils or something.
The snurf? Did you say snurf?
Yeah, probably know what it said, but, you know.
Oh, okay.
I don't have a Papoon for President bumper sticker, but I got a picture of one.
Okay.
You know what the Papoon for President bumper sticker says on it?
What does it say?
It says, not insane.
Oh, okay. Vote for not insane.
Yeah. I mean, that's about as good as it gets in American politics these days.
It can.
You just, you know, do you vote for the guy who's completely insane or for the guy who's less insane? but yeah, so somewhere in here were some highly questionable collective nouns.
Okay.
But I'm not open turning VoIP it up right away.
929-299-1269.
That's a very good one. Breakfast.
Yeah, conspiracy of lemurs.
Conspiracy of lemurs. Tobit liked that. He likes lemurs. Lemurs are his favorite, one of his favorite dudes.
Tobit liked the owls. It's called a parliament of owls.
Oh, whoa.
That has come up in DGC from time to time, yes.
Wait, what was the lemurs again?
Conspiracy.
A conspiracy of lemurs.
Wait, a conspiracy? That's an
indeed it is, a conspiracy.
If there is an I thought that was a bumper sticker, but if lemurs gather together, they are a conspiracy. Is that what you're saying?
That's what they're called. Yep.
Awesome! That's so cool. And what was the owls are a parliament?
Yep, and parrots are a pandemonium of parrots.
Oh, pandemonium. Okay. I've seen a pandemonium of parrots at King's Park in Perth. That was really, that was another surreal experience, was seeing all these parrots just flying around. And then I realized...
Oh, good old Perth, you were in Western Australia.
I was all over Australia, except for in the north. There was no reason for me to go to Darwin. But it's a big country, so it's like I'm glad I didn't have to travel too far.
Yeah, I want to go to. Let's see, I guess I think it's Perth anyway. But I like visiting mint museums, and one of the branches of the Royal Australian Mint, which now produces basically commemorative coins and things like that. I think it's at Perth anyway. Is opened, you know, they have a museum there and a thing where you can mint your own coin, which, of course, is the thing I always want to do. Matter of fact, I get the emails every week from the Paris Mint Museum because I signed up for their emails the one time I was there. And, you know, I just think, oh, man, I want to go there. You know, so because they have a thing where they, you know, metal engraving and die engraving and coin stamping and that kind of thing. If you go at the right time, you can participate in a hands-on activity. And I don't care if it's mostly intended for children, damn it. But at the Mint in Holland Tyrol, for example, I struck my own pieces. Again, off their provided dies, of course, but in the gift shop, and you got to pay, you know, you pay for this, pay for that, whatever. And also at the, in Europe, they have a thing called the Long Night of the Museum, so their museums are open all hours, and you can get one admission ticket for all the museums in the city. Anyway, and in Munich, I went to the coin cabinet, the Munz cabinet, which it used to be the King's coin collection, and now it's the state coin collection. But it's a numismatic museum, but during this one event a year, they have a thing set up where you can strike your own pieces for like a euro a piece. And so, of course, I just gave them all my spare money and, you know, stripped off my waistcoat and just started throwing the press.
Oh, okay. Wow. Cool. Two minutes remain.
Anyway, so that was about all I had to say today.
I'm just waiting to clock out.
Well, that's right. It must be almost 11 p.m.
in some time zone.
That's right.
John
M. is about to clock out and go home. Yep, in the beautiful EST.
Nice. Very nice.
I think we're 4 hours behind UTC.
I think that's right. I'm in UTC minus 5 right now, and you're 1 hour ahead of me. I think that's right.
Time zones.
Was that Central?
Yeah, I just, you know, I set my watches to UTC. I have a friend, in fact, who argues for the abolition of time zones. I would be happy with the abolition of daylight savings time.
Yeah, time zones are useful.
Right.
Except that they're all wrong. I mean, Fort Worth.
Of course they are.
Thank you for listening to Open
Voip.
Now you can be the DJ of the city and open mic. Get on the mic. Get on the mic. Yo, yo, yo. You check it.
Well, and then poor Froggy me. Get on that mic. You are the DJ. He's got a 30-minute. In my bedroom alone. I said I don't live in Chicago. I don't know no Al Capone. That bitch took my money and she went to Chicago. If I ain't already enough sick of